Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtcast. Cole Pettum here as always, and of course we're here to chat all things Aston Villa Football Club, with the latest result being a 1-0 loss to Manchester United at Old Trafford in the third round of the FA Cup on Monday evening. So yeah, that happened. Lots to talk about here, and we'll try to get through it as quickly as possible because of course we have to look ahead and not look forward to playing them on Saturday again, where I'm sure the leg at Villa Park in the Premier League will be all no enjoyment, really, if that even makes sense. But nonetheless, let's get over to the fellas here, of course. So we'll go to Simon first. Simon, how's it going?
I hate playing Man U. It's just so... I mean, to be fair, no one should be surprised. With us beating them earlier on this season, I think it's probably, another 10 years before we're allowed to beat them again. So I hate them so much.
You know what? We're gluttons for pain, are we not? We experience all kinds of forms, and typically the one versus United is oh so typical and oh so bitter. But Danny Raz is here as well. He's back here. He's less busy now, and he owes his life to me now that he has a little bit more freedom. But now that he's not playing with his background, Danny, how's it going?
Yo, I'm good. I was a little bit angry after the game, I'm not going to lie.
Let it out, Danny, let it out.
No, I'm fine. It's zen, it's all good. It's one of those ones where, look, I'm not going to blame officials or whatever, but like VAR, it's just sometimes it just feels like it's ruining the game. Like I say that, but then again, it's not like big teams didn't get favorable decisions before VAR anyway. But it's just like, again, why do we keep on being told that VAR is about clear and obvious errors when it's taken 4 minutes to find the reason to scrub off Villa's goal today? Where's the clear and obvious there? It's just frustrating. Sometimes it feels like things are being made up on the go. Borderline, they were last season when we had that goal given against us, playing against Manchester City. Sometimes there's just an absolute inconsistency in terms of what is and what isn't given. Konsa went down in the box today, you know, with a nosebleed, nothing got given. But yet we're told that the slightest amount of contact, can be reason for a penalty. I don't know, man. It's just depressing because it feels like Villa couldn't have done anything better today. You don't need hard luck against a side like Manchester United. At the top level of football, it's all about fine margins. And those fine margins do decide games. But having said that, Villa need to stop being the victim and stop with the hard luck stories, because it's yet another one.
Yeah, it just never ends, and it's the theme of things when we think things are finally turning around and they just rear their ugly heads again. There's one tweet here that I didn't put out. It has nothing to do with anyone here, of course, but at Doc3D put it out, and I thought this kind of summarized everything when I was scrolling through the timeline on Twitter after the game. So check handball, nope. Check offside, nope. Double check if Watkins touches it, slow it down, nope. Let's take it back. Is Ramsey offside there? No, not involved. Wait, did he block off Cavani there? Yes, we have. We'll just go for that. I just feel like it's not even the fact of VAR, and I just feel like it's just the way the game's played now. It's you have to give everyone a fifth reassurance on things that used to take 2 seconds to figure it out. Like, where's the confidence to say, okay, I'm the referee, this is a goal, and not, we're just going to have to review this until kingdom come. Like, I shouldn't have enough time to go get a snack, go to the bathroom, and also refill my water bottle and get back, and there's still a VAR. And this is nothing about slowing the momentum. It just feels like, and I don't want to get into conspiracy things or saying it's rigged, and maybe I am, but regardless, it just, again, it feels like they're trying to put square things in round holes and to see what fits. And fittingly, it's against United. I just feel like, I don't know, I'm scarred forever thinking of things that go against us, against them. But let's roll it back, guys. Let's get a little bit of order into this before I start ranting and we'll be all over the shop here. Let's go back to the goal initially. Of course, Scott McTominay scores in the 8th minute. A good header, a good cross, yada, yada, yada. But Simon, you have to say, very poor marking from Villa.
Yeah, it was a really sloppy goal. I think, did it initially start with a corner that we took an age to try and clear and just didn't get it cleared properly? And I think the ball was sort of bouncing around on the edge of the box and there was an opportunity for someone to just go and stick their heads on it and get rid of it. And then once Fred gets out wide and whips it in, as you say, it is, from an attacking point of view, it's a decent ball in, but no one's going McTominay at all. He's gone in between Conza and Mings completely untracked. So it's just such a rubbish goal to give away, like a really frustrating one. But to be fair, like at that point, so early in the game, you might think, oh, like this is going to be, you know, a really long evening. We're going to struggle here. But we responded quite well, to be fair, I thought. But you can't go giving away cheap goals like that, especially away at Old Trafford when you know you're not going to get decisions going for you. To give a team like that a head start, you make it so much more difficult for yourself than you have to.
Yeah, Daniel, I'll spin it a different way for you and see if you can make sense of what I'm going to say, because I don't even know if I can make sense of it. But I feel like when you look at this result, you look at both results against, well, basically all results against Chelsea this season thus far. You can maybe even throw the City result in there as well. I don't even want to throw United in this top team category right now because I think they're absolute crap, to be honest. And like, if this is the season to do the triple over them, this would have been the season to do that and to put that over them for a good little while and then eventually probably lose to them for the foreseeable future after that. But it just feels like, again, it's another game where we're lackadaisical in one moment. We show a little bit of panic and we're creating chances, but again, we're hesitant in when we should be shooting and when we shouldn't be shooting, we're shooting. It just, for me, it just seems like one of those things again, where there's chances, but we're not taking them.
I've been really disappointed with Watkins Innings as of late. That's their job. You know, that's their job. I get the hard luck. I get that, you know, you need chances to come to you and everything. And I get that sometimes chances are a bit difficult to take, but your strikers, you know, Danny Ings, we've paid 25 million for, and he's meant to be one of the best finishers in the league. He's been missing some real sitters recently. Ollie Watkins, like, I have absolutely, like, I don't, by the way, for all the hard work that Watkins does, and he is a fantastic player, and like, you know, I really appreciate all the pressing he does. For all of that hard work, I have absolutely zero confidence when he's through on goal. And I hate to say that, because it sounds really harsh, but this is where that next level is for Villa, where it's like, if we're supposed to be, you know, taking things further, we've got to finish teams off. We've got to punish them. We can't be, you know, playing this hard luck story always. Oh, almost. It's like, no, almost. We've got centre forwards on the pitch that should be burying chances, and it's just not happening. And, you know, like today, I get that we had that goal disallowed, you know, that should have been in. But like the first half, we had chances that should have been buried. And that's the difference. Against Brentford only needed two chances to finish us off. They only needed two chances. We work hard for the entire game, get nothing out of it. And the same thing seems to happen again today. And I think the other thing is, it's those lackadaisical starts as well, which, you know, just allow teams to feel so comfy. Like, that's one thing that I've been annoyed with. And I think that was one thing I was annoyed with a little bit, you know, against Chelsea and against Brentford. Today, it was a little bit different. To be fair, Villa kept on knocking on the door. That's fine. But sometimes teams just get way too comfy against us. The first like 20 minutes or so, United were allowed to just ping the ball around. Greenwood and Rashford had so much space. And we had a lot of shots on goal today. But there's something missing here, and I don't know what it is. But this is where, when Gerrard comes in and we're looking at Lucas Digne, brought in Coutinho. At the start of the season, we looked at our 11 and we said, well, we don't really know where the problem is or who's allowed to be replaced. Now comes the point in Villa's journey where hard decisions need to be made. Some of those players that we've said are like top players and that we can't sell whatsoever are going to get replaced. We've got Cash, Konsa, Mings and Target who, you know, have been shown to be a very solid back four. But there's been a lot of mistakes creeping into our defence recently. Someone has to get replaced. You know, there is a way for that to improve. Our midfield, we've got Dougie Louise, we've got John McGinn, we've got Jacob Ramsey. But yet still, we're losing the ball in like silly areas. And why is that happening? And then you also look at our attack. We paid a lot of money for it. Got Watkins, Ings, Buendia, Bailey. But yet we're not getting the return that we should be to be getting in the top eight. So there's little bits and players here where like Gerrard hopefully is going to recognize the issues, I guess. But that lackadaisicalness, as you say, kind of thing, it has been creeping in recently. And it's almost felt like the justification of not having to perform so much against Chelsea has followed Villa into the last couple of games. That's a big thing to shake off. It's a hard thing to shake off. They just completely lost the momentum of when Gerrard first came in.
Yeah, 100%. Simon, I'll spin this one back to you. And I just kind of thought of it. So again, hopefully it makes sense. When you go on social media, especially after this one, I noticed a lot of Villa fans in particular, of course, you're going to feel hard done by after what's kind of gone on. But for me, I kind of felt earlier on, we could have probably been 2-3-1 or 3-0 up, whatever, if that was one chance was avoided from the United perspective. Again, not finishing chances like we've kind of been talking about and what Danny just really discussed. But you'd also have to argue that, how sloppy we were at times defensively, we could have been probably 2-3-0 down, couldn't we?
Yeah, United in that first half did have like a couple of decent opportunities, I think, or they got themselves into areas where they could have done something with it. Quite lucky that Marcus Rashford has just seemingly forgotten how to play football at the moment. But I think one of the reasons for it, and it's a point I was just going to pick Danny up on, when you said that we kind of looked at the team at the start of the season and like you looked at it and think, well, where's the problem with that? I'd slightly disagree in that. I think the problem was, for me, and I think quite a few people, was the lack of the defensive midfielder. I think that was something in the summer I think a lot of Villa fans were sort of looking at. And I think that's what is kind of maybe has got the defence maybe looking a bit iffy in the last few games, like you say. So I don't think there's really that protection in there. When you think when Gerrard first came in those first few games, he had Nakamba there who played absolutely brilliantly in that role. I think, especially for a team like in mid-table, it's so crucial that you've got that, especially if you're going to have your full-backs going as high as we've got them doing. You need to have that screening there. And Douglas Luiz, I really rate him as a player. I think he's a really good player. But I don't think you can have him in that holding role, especially against the better teams, because it's just not his natural game. He's looked best for us, certainly at the start of Gerrard's reign, when he was playing as more of an ace and you had the camber in there. So I think that does cause an issue, just not having that protection in the midfield. Because I think the last few weeks, last few games, I think going forwards, the midfields have kind of been all right. There's passages in games where they move the ball really nicely. But I keep going back to it. If you've not got that sort of player in there to protect, when you lose the ball, like the defence have got 3 or 4 people running at them and they're sort of exposed a bit. So I think that's a fact in maybe what's happened in the last few weeks where we've looked a bit more defensively suspect. And for me, that's a position we've got to address that this transfer window. If we have any ambition of a top 10 finish.
Do you not think, though, it gets a little bit frustrating when, you know, we've got all these ball-playing midfielders and, like, yeah, I get it. You know, we shouldn't be getting caught. You know, defensive midfielder should be, would be there and would be helping out massively. But a lot of the time when we get attacked, it's because we have this absolute, like, what's the word? Obsession, right? Almost sort of like fetish almost for like, for like wanting to play through as many.
Where are you going here, Danny?
No, just like this thing about like, just if it almost like, it seems like our midfielders see three midfielders and go, you know what, let me get a pass minute, you know, miraculously through three of them, and then we're making all these complicated passes, and this is where we end up getting caught on the break, and it's all these little simple things for me which really worry me, which make me think like, top sides don't have that happen to them. So whether or not you've got a defensive midfielder, you start committing all your players forward and we get broke on. I don't know. That's been one of the major issues for me lately. I do agree with you though. We do need a DM. Ducky doesn't work there.
Do you think it's a issue of accountability in terms of, and I mean, we're starting to see this with this window, of course, Coutinho comes in, looks like Dean's coming in as well. So that would provide obviously cover for Target. Kane Kessler's obviously back from loan from Swindon. So there's obviously, I wouldn't say as much competition for Matty Cash in the immediate future, but nonetheless, there's a little bit of pressure there. But do you think, again, it's accountability, especially if you look at, I'm not saying Dougie Louise is the reason why we lost this game or we've lost against Brentford or whatever, but there's no one behind him to challenge him and there's not that competition. And I felt like we were getting the best out of Dougie Louise because Nakamba was literally on the field to cover him for one, but there was that added pressure to go, you know what? Okay. You're not playing in the central defensive mid because Nakamba is doing a better job. So you're going to be pushed a little bit further up. And then again, he has competition there with Ramsey, McGinn, Sanson, et cetera, et cetera. I just feel like, again, we're kind of just throwing players out there. And I felt like that's kind of what happened at the tail end of last season where everyone knew they were going to get their start. They weren't really under pressure. And it just kind of fell into a little bit of a lull.
Yeah, I think as well, like just for some odd reason in the last couple of games, I'm sure it's to do with like putting them in the shop window as well. Like Bertrand Traore and like El Ghazi have come on. Like and they haven't pushed anybody. Like Buendia's not afraid that like El Ghazi's going to come in and take his space. Do you know what I mean? And like when you look at the midfield as well, like Sanson has kind of come in and he's done okay. But like Jacob Ramsey at the start of the season came and pushed all the midfielders to have to work a little bit harder. Like I can't for the life of me see why Carney Chukwuemeka isn't pushing the rest of them to like, you know, get their game going. But it definitely feels the case with like Matty Target and you know, there was times at the start of the season where you were like, come on, man, this guy is playing terribly. Like, and he was. he's okay now. He's got better performances now. But at the start of the season, he was playing terribly. And we didn't really have anybody to like bring in ahead of him. We do need those options. You know, we do need that Lucas Dean type player to come in and, you know, challenge. He won't challenge Matt Target. I think he'll probably take his place. You know, we do need another defensive midfielder to come in and be like and take ownership of that role. And there is that accountability problem. There is that thing of Villa being passengers. I felt through the entire Chelsea game that they just kind of felt like, okay, it's fine, whatever. Gerrard's not here. The Brentford game, nobody stepped up and took that role. And this is where, like, this is why I hate to bring it back, but you know, when we go back to the whole Grealish issue and why Villa weren't getting points without Grealish, it wasn't necessarily because the team didn't have talent, because they had talent whilst the dude was on the pitch, right? But as soon as he left, nobody wanted to, you know, take up that role of being the driver of the team. And there needs to be more of that. You know, there needs to be less of kind of holding the ball up when we're in the final third and being a little bit more direct, actually taking initiative. And that's what hopefully, you know, these kinds of players, Coutinho, Dean, older players, like even Danny Ings to some degree, Hopefully that's what kind of brings it out of the side. And that's where the difficult decisions will be made. That's where, when like one of our top players ends up leaving and being replaced by someone that Gerrard's brought in, that's where it's going to happen. Because I don't think he's going to settle for it. And I'm glad he actually addressed it after the Brentford game too. I don't know if you noticed that as well, Simon. Like, he almost said something that was on the fans' minds, which you don't usually see with a manager. Like, I think we've all been kind of noticing a few deteriorating performances.
Yeah, he wasn't happy after that game, was he? And quite right as well. But I like that. That's what I want to hear. Like, fans aren't stupid. They know, you know, if you watch a performance like that Brentford one, for example, you don't want your manager to come out and try and claim, you know, it's not that bad. We'll move on and get on. You want them to come out and not dig players out, because I don't think he did that, but like send them a message that, you know, when, I'm not going to accept this. He hasn't come to Villa to be mediocre, as a, like, he wouldn't have done that. He wants to get us back up into sort of like top end of the table. And, you know, if you look at the, obviously, Coutinho coming in and some of the other players that we've been linked with, that's great. And, like, you kind of, I've seen, like, some stuff on Twitter saying, like, I saw one tweet earlier today saying, oh, I've got to feel sorry for Matt Target. So, well, no, like, you need to have good competition in the squads. You need to have, like, I mean, look at the bench tonight and against Brentford. It's loads of academy players on there. You need to have a strong bench if you want to get yourselves into that top end of the table. Like, I really don't get like some Villa fans when a few the other week they're on about Watkins and Ings, because they don't work together. So you've got to, I personally think you need to start one or the other. But then I like seeing some stuff saying, oh, well, Danny Ings is just not working out, we should move him on. No, you need to have a squad of options.
Yeah, of course you do. It's the thing, like, it's not like all or nothing with Danny Ings. Like, he can be on the bench whilst Watkins starts. Like,
yeah,
you know, if Watkins wants to start, then tough luck. Come on for 10 minutes at the end and score a bloody goal. Like, well, that's how it works.
I mean, I think with Coutinho coming in, surely that's got to mean one of them will be on the bench, because you'd imagine it'll be Coutinho and Buendia as the two tens behind one of them.
They have to be. And also Bundesliga wonder kid, Bailey, he's going to be coming back as well. Like, people forget about
forgotten about him.
You know what I mean? But this is where, like, your Trezeguets and your Bertrand Traore's, who, you know, have had sad stories. Like, they I'm not going to say they're not hard workers, because they are hard workers, but it hasn't quite come off for them at Villa. And that's where players like that are going to have to get moved on. And we need to replace that kind of a squad player with a Danny Ings kind of squad player. Like, that's how you break the top eight, the top six. You can't have 11 top eight players or 11 top six players and then like another 12 or 13, you know, bottom half probably would get relegated if all 11 of them started type players. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think Traore will probably still be around, because I think he's a pretty decent player. But Trezeguet and El Ghazi, you'd have to imagine, won't be at Villa beyond the summer.
When El Ghazi took that shot today and it went, like, I don't even know what planet it hit, but it's still up there somewhere floating. And I just thought, that'll probably be the last time we see him. I wouldn't be shocked. It's just,
yeah,
it's unfortunate, but at the same time, again, it's evolving. Like, I appreciate everything he's done. I think I said this on the last podcast. I think Trezeguet would have been gone if he wasn't injured in the summer, last summer, to be honest. But again, like you guys have mentioned, with the likes of Bailey, and of course, if Traore comes back and he's not injured for another eternity, we have opportunities to play different systems. We have that flexibility, and we've been going on about that too, not only the depth, but the flexibility too. So it'll be so interesting to see how he plays with Watkins and Ings and Bailey and Buendia. I mean, let's be honest, when's the last time we had attacking options like that?
No, exactly. And that's the thing. There's talent there, so there's no excuse to just be missing clear-cut chances game after game. That needs to stop. They need to cut that out. And it's not easy to cut out because there's nothing that you can teach in training that cuts that out.
Yeah, true.
That's the issue.
Well, let's switch it this way, guys. Instead of going on and on about the VAR controversy, because to be honest, I don't know if you guys even want to really talk about it. I feel like every other podcast, every other content creator, whether you're a fan or you work for a company that does it, that's all it's going to be discussed. But the one thing I do want to bring up now is, what do we think tactically, lineup wise, will change between this evening and on, of course, Monday, I should say, because it's going on Tuesday, and on Saturday?
Coutinho will be in, I'd like to think. I'd like to think he comes straight in.
Do you think he'll start? Like, is he fit enough to start? So I'm not sure how many minutes he's really played at Barcelona this season.
Yeah, I don't know. But at the same time, like, I don't think there's been anybody that's been able to hold their space. Didn't we start with like Trezeguet and Traore a couple of games ago? No, it wasn't Trezeguet and Traore. It started with
Traore against Brentford and then took him off the Trezeguet.
They're both in AFCON. You know, I don't want to see Watkins and Ings both start. So for me, I'd go Buendia, Coutinho and Watkins.
I don't think Coutinho would probably be able to see 90 minutes, but definitely start with him. At least try and get an hour out of him.
Yeah, like what I'm seeing right now, I'm just looking at a stats website here. And for Coutinho, I don't know if this is exact, but it says he's played 501 minutes in La Liga, so over 12 games, 2 goals in those 12 games, in that with one yellow card. He's played 107 minutes in the Champions League across 4 games, of course, with no points. So 608 minutes this season across 16 games. I'm scared to start him a little bit because I think Leon Bailey has forever just terrified me of new exciting signings coming in, doing well for about 20 minutes and then getting injured. But hopefully that's just Leon Bailey and we can actually have nice things for the rest of the season. But I mean, Simon, where do you sit with it in the midfield here? And I feel like this is where it's going to be won or lost on Saturday in particular. And I say that because how do you really change it up? I mean, McGinn's going to be out, of course, because of accumulation of yellows. Dougie Luiz is going to be in there because we don't have any other defensive midfield options. And you're going to assume it's going to be Ramsey. So do you throw Sanson in there? Does he somehow put Coutinho as a central midfielder instead? And we keep Watkins and Ings up front? Because to be honest, I wouldn't be shocked if he did that.
Oh, I would be. I'd be surprised if he did that. I suspect it'll be Sanson that will come in from McGinn. So I thought Sanson actually did reasonably well against Chelsea. It was Chelsea, wasn't it? When he started.
Yeah.
In the cup.
Yeah, so I could see him coming in for that. Because to be fair, like today, especially that second half, it was pretty much all Villa. So that United midfield isn't something to be too scared about, really. It's just like Danny says, it's the reason we lost today, obviously the VAR thing didn't help, but we lost because we didn't put away the good number of chances that we created. And some of them, especially that Watkins one in the first half where he hit the bar, were very good. So that's the real issue. That United midfield is not a good midfield to me. That's an average mid-table midfield. So obviously McGinn will be a loss because he's a very good player. But Sanson has this season, the appearances that he has shown himself to be a capable player. You've got Chukwuemeka as well. You never know, he might chuck him in there. Unlikely, I think, but
doesn't get game time for some reason. Last 2 games, even though we've been rubbish.
So. Yeah, I thought, especially that Brentford game to put Trezeguet on for Traore instead of Chukwuemeka was a baffling one.
I was still angry, but it means I can justify my opinion now that like he just needs to leave.
He tries to go.
Yeah,
I've never rated him. I love his work rate. Right? He's a hard worker. Fair play to him, but he's for me. He's not a Premier League footballer.
Oh, thanks for keeping us up, but you can go now. Basically, he was good for about a 3-game, 4-game span, and that's really what I guess, and of course the semi-final goal against Leicester. I think would be of note, but
I think the way you got to think about it is, would we sign Trezeguet now?
Oh, hell no.
Like, yeah.
this is it. You know, when you look at the kind of signings that we make, like, would you sign him now? Probably not.
Yeah.
And I'd much rather like options like Chukwuemeka come in and that kind of thing. But look, against United, I wouldn't change much. Like, actually, you know what? We talk about how Watkins and Ings doesn't work. I actually thought Watkins was pretty handy on the right hand side today. It was just there was a few things where like, and it's the entire team's doing it, but it's just like holding onto the ball a little bit too long, not being direct enough with it, like, you know, trying to wait for the perfect opportunity and letting the Manchester United defense come all the way back. Like, there's no formation, there's no positional issue, there's no strategy issue that stops Watkins and Ings from finishing chances that they should be finishing. Like, just because Watkins is playing on the right wing doesn't mean you shouldn't be putting away that chance.
Well,
I actually don't think it was terrible today. Like, if Gerrard puts out the entirely same team, switches Sanson out for McGinn, I won't be mad.
Yeah, I think with Watkins, so what you were saying there, I think he's one of those players that when he has time to think, that's when he struggles. Like, not that I'm saying that he's like a bad footballer or not a clever footballer, because I think he is, like, he's not like someone like Gabby who just didn't have a football brain. He was just all pace. But like Watkins, I think he's an instinctive type of player. You look at the goals that he scores for us, the majority of them are sort of one touch finishes, or he only takes maybe two touches. When he slows himself down and starts thinking, I think he sort of panics in a bit, because he always looks, when he gets into those positions, that he's in two minds of whether to shoot or try and find someone. When he's just sort of not thinking and just going for goal, that's when he's at his best.
And that's where actually, I know, switching it almost, right, the third man in that attack, Buendia, that's where I've been impressed with him, and that's where I have zero problems with that guy. Like, he hasn't been coming off with him, and he hasn't been getting the assists, actually, because I don't think the players around him have been playing to his level. I think Buendia, like, he seems to have that intensity and that quick mind of like, yeah, we've got to do this. He seems to be the guy that has that, and I hope Coutinho coming in means that he's got another player on his level for us to kind of penetrate defenses like that, because, you know, there's a little bit too much of that from Watkins, a little bit too much of that kind of holding it up, and even from Ings as well. Like, you don't want him trying to find his way through like two defenders. You want him in the box receiving, you know, quality balls from players like Buendia and Coutinho.
Like his goal against Brentford. Yeah. That's what you want from Danny Ings. And I agree. I think Coutinho coming in will just enhance Buendia even more. Because I've been impressed with him. I thought the start of the season, he got quite a bit of unfair stick because he was rarely playing in his actual favourite position.
Yeah.
Since Gerrard's come in, and he has been, I think he's a really good player. He does lose the ball from time to time, but I don't mind that because he's trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
Like, you can always play like a safe ball backwards or to the side, and then your passing stats look great. But it's pointless. That's not what he's there to do. He's there to try and turn and play those three balls.
And we end up in that same position anyway. That's where Villa need to start taking advantage of the stats a bit more. You know, I'd rather Buendia tries to go and dribble through, you know, Varane and get tackled, than us pulling the ball all the way back, having Douglas Luiz and Jacob Ramsey run into each other and letting United break on the counter like what happened today. So, and that happens a little bit too much for us, I think.
Yeah, we're good for both, really. But I'll throw it back at you, Danny, for this one, and then Simon, if you want to have your say too. So in this world here, let's say that Coutinho can play for, let's say, one half, so 45 minutes. Do you start him? Who do you start up top, Watkins or Ings? And of course, you're going to assume Buendia is probably going to be on the right. But what kind of decisions do you make on those two positions in terms of who plays kind of out on the left and who plays up in the middle?
This might be controversial, but I think I play Ings. If we're playing Coutinho and Buendia, just because I feel like we'd be looking for the killer ball almost, or like, you know, that killer through ball. And I don't think, you know, necessarily Watkins is going to get that space to stretch United. you know, it might well have to be a case of us finding that right pass. And because of that, when it comes to a one-on-one finish, I kind of trust Ings a little bit more. And that's not to say that I feel like Ings is our best striker. I still think Watkins is our number one guy, but I think against United, I play Watkins if we're going to play with Coutinho and Buendia. And I would absolutely start with Coutinho. You can always bring on a fresh pair of legs later on.
Fair enough. Simon, how about you?
Yeah, I'd definitely start Coutinho for the reason Danny just said there. You can bring someone on later if you need to, but I'd go Watkins rather than Ings. I get the point that you probably trust Ings to finish off the limited chances a bit more, but I just think Watkins presses a bit better. Not that Ings doesn't press, like Ings is pretty good at that, but Watkins just got that bit more energy and pace about him. And I think United's defence isn't that great. And so I think if you're pressing at them and putting them under pressure, they're likely to make mistakes. I mean, you look at the one Lindelof made in the first half today, which Watkins should have finished. So, yeah, I'd probably start with Watkins, I think.
And they made plenty of mistakes, Simon. And you're right, like Watkins did press them quite hard today. They did have a bit of a torrid time, didn't they? Like,
yeah,
passing their own half.
They're not great. Like, rather than Varane is a, you know, very good player. Look what he's done in his career. But Lindelof, I mean, how he's still at Man United is it? I really don't understand that. He's one of those
started Phil Jones.
I wouldn't take him at Villa. Like, that's the thing. Like, I wouldn't take Lindelof at Villa.
Lindelof, he's been there, I think, 5 or 6 years. If I walked past him in the street, I wouldn't recognise him. That's how little impact he's made in his time there.
That's a statement and a half. But anyways, guys, let's go over to the Twitter 3-word reviews. Didn't think we'd get over, I think, 160 is what we have so far. So thanks to everyone, of course, that got involved. You can tweet us at 7500 to Holt in the future to have your say. So I'll read out a few here as quickly as I can so we don't take too much time on this. We'll start with Tim Warwood saying, done by VAR. Let's see here. Let's go to...
That's Pete. 5 words. That's actually cheating. Done by video assistant referee. I don't think I should be allowed.
Okay, you're being a real VAR right now, Danny. That's all I can say. Pete says, Man U referee. Carl O'Neill, says robbed, firing blanks. Ben says time for Saturday. David Kitt, they can't score. Declan Pierce, what the fuck? I think that's, if I could put a title as that and not get flagged, I definitely would. Capital Villains, Oliver is awful. Dave King, mugged at VAR point. Okay, I kind of get that, but anyways, moving on. Coutinho season, big six bias, I should say, and we'll read out 3 more. Andy Lane, not good enough. Zwitter, saying agent VAR strikes, and we'll finish with, let's just scroll all the way down here so I can actually, like, say that I went all the way down here because there's so many. John C, corruption ruining football. So a lot of people hating on VAR, VAR, whatever you want to say.
Is that another 4-word review?
No, that's 3.
Corruption is ruining football.
No, corruption ruining football.
All right, okay.
Yeah. Don't throw the extra word in there, Danny, to throw me off in my game. I already get thrown off when I'm reading these and I can't see your guys' faces probably laughing at me trying to mispronounce names, but regardless. Danny, you know what? You put me under pressure. I'm going to put you under pressure. 3-word summary, please.
Okay. I'll go with thought as much.
Okay. Simon, how about you?
Fucking Man United. Like, I know we didn't really want to talk about it too much, but that VAR one, just a point on it, after the game on the BBC, they were giving the reason why it was disallowed. So they were saying, see, Ramsey was in an offside position, and if you impede the players, obviously Cavani, the goal would be disallowed. But that's only if you stop Cavani being able to get to the ball, which he was never going to do. So
yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, shouldn't have been disallowed.
This happens, isn't it? This happens way too often, where, like, I don't understand how... Here we go, rants here, right? we've had this stuff before. We're like, we find out, oh, actually, that's not in the rule book. You know, I can't remember the last one, but it already happened, like, earlier this season, right? And whether it was Villa or whether it was anyone else, I can't remember. There was definitely the one last season with Villa and City,
yeah,
where like they changed the rule afterwards. Like, okay, so today, you spend 3.5 minutes in the VAR room,
yeah,
finding an issue, and yet it's still against the rule book. Like, what on earth is that? Why have you taken 3.5 minutes to find that? And furthermore, why have you got qualified referees making a mistake? And I don't want to, like, referees get enough abuse. This should not be an excuse to send abuse to referees. But VAR is an absolute mess, and it's being proven to be a mess over and over. And something needs to change to get it perfect. I understand teething problems, but it's been a few years now. So this should not be happening. 3.5 minutes is not a clear and an obvious error.
This is the thing. It's not VAR itself, the technology isn't the problem. It's the way our referees are trying to use and interpret it. When you think the World Cup in Russia, I think it was the first proper tournament that it was used in, I don't remember any real problems with it. In the Euros in the summer,
it
seems to work fine. Everywhere in Europe manages to do it, right? It's just the standard of refereeing, you know, I think, in England is really, really bad. And the way they're interpreting some of these rules is just ridiculous.
You know, there's an issue, though, where, like, we're not getting referees coming through because we're not getting enough referees coming through because, like, people are scared of the abuse, man. Like, that's really part of the UK culture. I know this is, like, a whole different conversation.
Yeah. Almost,
but, like, there is that UK culture where, like, you know, in, like, grassroots football, you get, like, kids' parents out there, like, swearing at the referee, and, like, a lot of them are, like, kids themselves. Like, that's where the issue is.
It is, to be fair, it is bad. I mean, I've played Sunday League for years, and, like, some of the abuse that you see some referees get, yeah, you're right. You do wonder why they would bother doing it. But still, having said that, the referees that we do have, they're paid, a decent wage to referee. It's their job. They should be half good at it.
Bring back Uriah Rennie, man. Bring back the legends of the game.
Oh, God. Well, you have to roll back time there. But the one thing that got me, and I don't want to make this a talking point because I think we've been going on for more than long enough, and we'll wrap things up here in a moment as I just drop the phone on my foot. How do you have VAR only in some games, obviously for the Premier League clubs? And obviously there's loads of games going on that don't have it because they're not in the lower divisions. Like, surely you just erase it all for that competition. It just makes no sense.
Yeah, it's a joke. It is a joke. It's not a fair competition then. Not everyone's playing by the same rules. So I really don't understand that. And also, the two clubs have to pay $9,500 each to have the VAR in these FA Cup games. So Man U must have... Yeah. I found that out today. So United must have tipped very nicely earlier on this morning.
No, it's not fair.
They left a lovely basket in that room.
I'm not one of these who thinks there's a conspiracy or anything like that. But having said that, I don't think it would have been disallowed at the other end today.
We've had bad luck with it against United, haven't we? We really have.
To put it mildly,
it's going to continue. Let's be honest.
Saturday's just going to be awful.
I just hope we win on Monday via failed goal line technology.
On Monday, yeah.
I hope the beeper goes off when the ball's like nowhere near over the line. That's what I want to happen.
Yeah, we're playing on Monday too, Danny.
Is it Monday?
It's Saturday.
Saturday.
Oh, it's Saturday. Okay.
Do
you know what? It's because of you, Cole. It's because you said Monday earlier. I'm not going to lie. You did say Monday earlier, so I'm going to.
Well, as what's that girl's name?
Rachel. Phoebe.
This podcast.
What's her first name? Something Black.
Rebecca Black.
I almost called her Alicia Black. Well, at least the game's not on Friday. But anyways, I'm not keeping that in because that was absolutely terrible. But
you gotta keep that in.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe I will. I'm probably too lazy to edit this, to be honest, because I still have to do player ratings after this too. So let's wrap things up there, guys. We've been going for more than long enough, and I'm sure I have quite the edit ahead of me, mainly because of my own mistakes. But
nonetheless, good chatting with you both. Thank you very much to Simon and Danny for joining me this evening. We'll be back hopefully on the Monday. You'll hear us next, or the following Monday after Saturday's hopefully positive result against United. Let's have a few more good vibes against United this season, or at least I want to see Villa do well at Villa Park against United. I don't think I've seen that yet in my time supporting the club, but we'll wrap it up there. Of course, tweet the team at 7500 to Holt, email the podcast holtcast@gmail.com, leave a review and a positive rating wherever you find this pod. We'll leave it there, and don't forget, up the Villa.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.